Kisavo, Tavshinayin Vav. Okay. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at the end of the parsha. Mamash at the end. I was going to say we talked about this before. Not even very recently. But it says in Pasuk Chavtes, Pasuk Gimel.
Trying to get there.
Very end of the parsha. Chavtes Gimel. Okay. Anyway. Lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladas, veinayim liros, vaznayim lishmoa ad hayom hazeh. So this is after, I mean, let's just, you know, briefly, you know, synopsize the parsha. Let's first look at the beginning. We've got the discussion of Bikurim at the very beginning of the parsha, first fruits, bring the Beis HaMikdash. After that is the discussion of Bir Maestris, right? And at the end of the, what do you call it, Pesach, after the third year, right, in the fourth year, and Pesach, what do you call it, right at the end of the sixth year, so we would do what's called Bir Maestris. As you come to Beis HaMikdash, you make a declaration that, you know, you've done everything that, you know, that with regard to Maestris, discussion about Bikurim, also all the mitzvos really that are shaykh to Hafrushes, Tumas, and Maestris. Okay. After that, in Shlishi, it says Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elokechem and Tzavcha Lasos Tzachukim Ha'Eilev V'Shmishpatim V'Shamata V'Asisosam V'Chol Avavcha V'Chol Nafshecha. That's the pasuk right after Bir Maestris. Hayom Hazeh. Rashi says in that B'Chol Yom Yubeinecha Chadoshim. Every day the mitzvah should be to you new. Ki Ilu Bo B'Yom Nitztavei Salem. As though today you were commanded to do them. That's Perek Chavav Pasuk Tezayin. That's the first Pasuk right after Bir Maestris. And it continues more. And then we come to the discussion of when you come to the Yardane, the stones that'll be put up. Moshe Rabbeinu put up stones. Stones are put in the Yardane. Stones are put up at Har Eval. Stones are put up in the Gilgal, those stones, same stones that were in our Eval afterwards were taken from the Gilgal. Okay, the story of the stones, and the lessons from those stones. Right, some of those stones are meant to have written upon them the whole of the Torah as a declaration to the nations of the world. Right, this is what we're all about. Right, you can read it. You know, right, read and you'll understand. And the other stones are there to remind them of their nisim, the miracles, the coming into Eretz Yisrael, the splitting of the Yardane. Then we go through the whole story of the stones, and then talk about those who are going to stand on Har Grizim and Har Eval, splitting up of the Shvatim to respond to the brachos, klolos, baruch, arur, baruch, arur, baruch, arur, etc. And then afterwards we get into the tochacha, where actually the first part of it says, if you listen to Hashem, right, to Hashem's mitzvahs, etc., you'll be blessed in this way, and that way, the next way, and all good things. And then afterwards it goes into the tochacha. All right, and that we know is, we mentioned before that the Gemara says that Ezra Sofer was Masakein. Ezra Sofer made a takana that prior to Rosh Hashanah, we always read Parshas Kisavo. And it was even at a time when they used to finish the Torah in a 3-year cycle, there was a takana to read from Parshas Kisavo prior to Rosh Hashanah, and Parshas Bechukosai, which is the Tochacha of Sefer Vayikra prior to Shavuos. Fine. And then after the whole story, we go to Ezra Sofer. And then after we finish this very difficult Chokacha, then we come towards the end of the Parsha, and it says in Shvi, I have a Yikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, Vayomar Aleim, Atem Reisem, Esko Asher Asa, Hashem Alei Nechem, Be'oretz Mitzrayim, Lefaro, Lechol Avadov, Kol Amar Tov, etc. You've seen everything that Hashem did for you, got the Paro, etc. All the miracles that Hashem did for you. And then in Pasuk Gimel, that's where we're holding. Chavtes Gimel. V'lo nasan Hashem, lachem leiv ladas, and Hashem did not give to you a leiv ladas, a heart to know, v'inayim lir'os, and eyes to see, v'oznayim l'shmoa, and ears to hear, adayim azeh, until this day. Until this day. Fine. So Rashi says, what does Rashi say on this Pasuk? He didn't give you a heart to know, v'inayim lir'os, and eyes to see, v'oznayim l'shmoa, and ears to hear until this day. Okay. So says Rashi, v'lo nasan Hashem lachem lev ladas, l'hakir es chasdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lidavek bo. To be makir, to recognize the chasadim that Hashem does for you, and to attach yourself to Him, to cleave to Him. Ad hayom hazeh, until this day. So says Rashi, shamati she'oso yom she'nasan Moshe, as Avram mentioned last night. Shamati she'oso yom she'nasan Moshe Sefer Torah levnei Levi. On that day, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer Torah to Shevet Levi. Kvashakosim parshas vayelach, as it says in two parshas hence, parshas vayelach. Vayitna ela kohanim, he gave it bnei Levi, gave it to them to safeguard. Bo Kol Yisrael, lifnei Moshe, all the Jewish people came before Moshe, and Amr lo, Moshe Rabbeinu, af anu amadnu besina, v'kibalnu es haTorah, v'nitna lanu. We also had Sinai, we also received the Torah, we also was given to us. Uma ata mashli des b'nei shivtecha aleinu, aleha. Why are you giving, as it were, your shevet, dominion over the Torah? V'yomru lanu, machar, lo lachem nitna lanu nitna. Tomorrow they'll say, the Torah wasn't given to you, it was given to us, only to us. The Samach Moshe Adavar Valzos Amar Lehem Hayom Azen Yesu Am. And this Moshe Rabbeinu said that which we saw in Pasuk Perik Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes, right now we're in Chav Tes Gimel, but that's what Moshe Rabbeinu rejoiced upon this, as it says in Hayom Hazeh Yesu Am. That's Perik Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes. Hayom Hazeh, right? Hayom Hazeh Yesu Am. That's in Perikov 9, Pasuk Tes. Today, right, we saw, today you have become a nation. Today you become a nation. That's the Pasuk we saw before. Chav Zayin Tes, Hayom Hazeh Niyesu La'am, and that's, and upon that, Rashi says there, V'chol Yom Yubeinecha Ki'ilu Hayom Basa Yimo Bebris. Every day, yeah, today it should be as though, right, as though you, today you entered into a covenant with Hashem. So fine. Niyesa la'am, and, right, Hayom Hazeh, right, and what today is, what you call, you become a people. Fine. So now, question is, what does that mean? Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hayom Hazeh hevanti shatem dveikim v'chafetzim amokim. Today, I understood that you're attached, you're cleaving, and desirous to be attached to the Ribon Shel Olam, to the Makom, to God Hashem. So is the pshat over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Is the pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu just didn't recognize it until now? I mean, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like he just didn't recognize it until now. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Rashi says, that based upon what he's saying over here, yeah, based upon their reaction, let's say, to his giving over of the Torah to Bnei Levi. Now he recognizes that they're chafetzim b'makom, and Rashi says that that's a reference to what we saw earlier in what he called it in Perik Chav Zayin Pasuk Tes, right? It's a reference to that pasuk, to today, today you've become a people. It's just a lack of recognition on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. How can he say that today you've become a people? If the whole thing is just, you know, I didn't have a litmus test until now, right? I didn't have a litmus test until now to know that you would quote that you understand what's going on, that you are chafetzim b'makom, right? That you're makirim, what was the lashon of Rashi? Yeah? That you're makir chaste Hashem, and you want to be, would quote, to be dovek in Him. How can Rashi say, do you hear what I'm saying? Rashi over here says, on this day, I recognized that you, I know that you recognize, you're makir, you appreciate the chasarim of Hashem, and you're dovek in Him. You're dovek in Him. Okay? Recognize the chasarim of Hashem, and you're dovek in Him, you're attached to Him. How does He know it? So Rashi says, because the Jewish people came and said, why are you giving Sefer Torah to just Shevet Levi? They're liable to say that it's theirs tomorrow, not ours. Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, I'm so happy. I see that you are makirim tov, you're makir the chasodim of Hashem, and you're dovek in Him. And you're dovek in Him. And upon this, as Rashi was said, the pasuk that we saw earlier in the Parsha, in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Tes, says, he says, Ayom Azeni Islam, today you've become a real people, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elokecha. But it's not true. I mean, it's not true. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu today they became a people, Hashem Elokecha? It could be that happened a long time ago, just Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recognize it. Because if the idea is over here that Moshe Rabbeinu says, finally there's a litmus test, we're able to see it, okay, it's a fine, so now you know. That doesn't mean this is the whole first time they become Ne'eslam, Hashem Elokecha. It could be it took place earlier, much earlier.
Well, it could be that the idea is that they don't have the, you know, it's not finished off until he's speaking out.
Oh, so that's exactly what the point I'm making. Yeah? Pshat, right? So Pshat is, yeah, that until you reveal it, right, there's a chisar in Hakar Satov. Until you reveal it, there's a chisaron in hakara satov. Until you reveal it, there's a chisaron in hakara satov. Yeah, until you speak it out. In other words, we live, right, we live, hakara satov is not just an intellectual thing. Hakara satov is something that affects a person's affect, his conduct, the way he feels, the way he expresses himself, the way he relates.
What is language?
No, hakaras hatov, recognizing the tov that someone, right? As we might think of hakaras hatov as being, you know, it's an abstraction. And in my mind, I'm makir tov, and that's sufficient. It's not sufficient. Because hakaras hatov is one of the fundamentals, of being Jewish. You hear stories of great rabbanim who are makir tov to somebody, and they go meshuga in order to show, to express their hakaras hatov. So hakaras hatov is not enough just to be, not enough to be just internally, you know, that I intellectually recognize, oh, this person did me a tova. I have to demonstrate it, I have to speak it out, I have to demonstrate it, I have to bring it into the real world. Hakaras hatov is an incredible tool, because we know that, for instance, Yisrael Salanter talks about the idea, and the Rama Murnavuchim earlier talks about the idea, that a person lives in two systems. He has what they call the Seichali Iyuni. He has his way of understanding things, his intellect. And then there's something called the Dimyon. Dimyon is the world of, as it were, you could call it fantasy. I want to make it fantasy, I don't want to make it sound like Fantasy Island, whatever.
Imagination.
Really cool imagination. And the tool of Right? In the world of the intellect, things are just abstractions. There's only truth. There's nothing there that relates to, you know, to anything that's, you know, touchy-feely. It's all just truth.
Where does the word, what about hope? What is that, which one's in that?
Hope.
Desire.
That's really cool. Those are feelings. Those are l'chor. Those are mitos. And they really, I mean...
Which one? That's not fantasy.
No, that's not. Again, when we talk about fantasy, really, imagination is probably a better word. That was a better word than fantasy. Imagination. In other words, that relates to things in this world, relates to things that you feel here and there, your experience. It's really your experience.
Which one is that,
Dimyon? The Dimyon. The Chush, your what you sense. The intellect is what you know. Those are truths. Those are truths. From the time of the Chet of Adam Arishon, so we've got this big Mishka Babel, as it were. We've got this admixture of the world of truth and the world of what you sense as pleasant, as good, as something that you desire. Not necessarily something bad per se, but it's what he called Tovara. That's the admixture of Tovara. It's no longer just it's truth or it's not truth. Now there's, you know, it's as good as it's not good. So if your head's screwed on straight, you know, the things that are supposed to be good are seen as good, and the things that are supposed to be as bad are seen as bad. But you can also have a head of where, you know, what's good is, and what's bad is, boring. Right? Etc. So, the combination of these two things, of the intellect and the world of imagination, the world of the imagination is meant to be used as a kli.
What's an example of imagination?
Like,
I want to be president of the United States. No,
I don't mean that. I mean, I mean, you'd probably be the best choice. Let's say... Let's say,
imagination is not reality.
Okay, you know, I understand. It's not just, it doesn't mean not. Let's say, I know that Hashem is one. Hashem is one.
Right.
That is a truth. That's a truth.
Right.
When I attach it to things of this world, to things that are here today and gone tomorrow, but I attach that concept of things in this world, what I've done is I've used my world of sensation, maybe that's the best word for it, the world of sensation, right, and attached it to the world of abstraction. The world of abstraction is the world of truths. The world of sensation is a world of experience. So if I'm using the world of sensation and joining it together with the world of truth, so then I become a much more whole person. If, however, the world, like the like Rishon Sarantis says, that the Dimyon is a Nahar Shotef, the Dimyon is a roaring, rushing river. Vasecho Yitva. If a person, as it were, doesn't know how to use it correctly, then his intellect drowns in what he called in this rushing, roaring river of sensation. A sensation. What happens is, and that's where the world runs now. The world of intellect is subjugated by the world of sensation. So now we'll invest, you know, $50 gazillion using our minds to figure out how we can give us a touch screen, yeah, that'll have, you know. Or maybe we can get a handheld device with a USB that fits into, you know, into a cauterized hole bored in the back of our skull, right? So we can implant it, yeah, at will in the source of our part of the brain, pleasure centers, right? And so I can have my handheld device with my USB with my auxiliary plug that fits into the electrode that's been in the hole in my skull that's bored into, giving me connection to the pleasure centers of the brain, and it can be virtual, right? The only thing you have to worry about is that God forbid you shouldn't die of starvation, because since virtually you can go to a 5-star restaurant and have yak flamboyant on the top of Everest, served by original Sherpa waiters, bring you hidden Tibetan wine. Right? So you're liable to die of starvation. So they have, what you have to do if you sign up for this, I have forms over here. What do you call it? You have to sign up for this, you have to also sign up for a drip, right? So that you shouldn't, God forbid, die of starvation because virtually you can't eat. I mean, you can sense that you're eating and et cetera. So in order that a person should create the proper harmony between the world of truths and the world of sensation, is he has to, as it were, he has to give expression, like David said before, he's got to give expression to those truths. So therefore, Hakaras HaTov, recognizing the Tov that Hashem does for us, can't be just something that rattles around in the catacombs of our brain. It has to be something that we give expression to. We make Tov to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. It's not like I just recognized today, but it could have been true a long time ago, just I didn't know it today. Because if that were true, how can he say, today you became a people? Rashi says, this is what made you into a people. Today you became a people, right? To the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's your problem, Moshe Rabbeinu. You didn't figure it out until today, until he expressed it. But what he could have had a long time ago. No, Teretz is, until you express it, until you show it, until you demonstrate it, the job is not done. Because until you express it, until you bring it into the world of sensation, to show it here in the here and now world, which is a world of sensation, then what it all it is that it's your intellect. And like Rav Yisrael Salanter said, the dimyon, the world of sensation, is a nar shotef, is a roaring river. It's a roaring river. I heard from Moshe Shapira, he said that this is what they're telling us in Avos, make the cheshbon of schar mitzvah keneged hefseda, right? And hefsed avera keneged schara. It doesn't just mean, oh, you know, is it in your mind, you know, what's better, avera? What do you have this whole, what do you need the whole nine yards for? Do we believe? Of course, so the big thing to do is mitzvah. And what avera is a catastrophe. So I don't need to do this. Why does the mission tell me? Make a shikul. Make a shikul. It means you have to, as the word, give it reality. Give it reality. You have to express it. You have to say, okay, what am I going to gain from this avera right now? What am I going to gain from this? I'm going to gain something, no, for whatever it is. I'll gain some sort of temporary advantage or some sort of temporary pleasure. Okay? And what's the loss that I stand to gain from it? Oh, for eternity, I will be forever messed up. So special. Uh-huh, okay. And when this mitzvah over here, I'm going to spend money on it, or it's going to be a tier of one sort or another, I'm going to have to expend energy. This is the way he described it. He says, okay. And what's the benefit? The benefit is eternity. So once you've expressed it, it's like, oh, okay. But if it remains just inside, it's something that passively we understand, doesn't go anywhere. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to him, according to the current Rashi. Today, you've become a people. Why? Because you gave expression to recognizing the great gift that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave you by giving you the Torah. One.
Expression when they said
Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma, right? You're right. Nasa v'nishma. But that was a statement of faith, right? Now post the Torah, what do? Right? Post the Torah. Have you shown? Have you given that same sort? You're right. And Nasim, that's why Nasim Nishma, right? Nasim Nishma in the merits of that. So they experienced at Har Sinai. They saw the kolos. You're right. They saw the kolos. That's a point well taken. Right? The Gemara says the cholam roim is a kolos. The pasuk says cholam roim is a kolos. So Chazal say upon that they saw roim is a kolos. How do you see sound? They saw that which is ordinarily heard. Right? And say Chazal, and they heard that which is ordinarily seen. Says Rav Chaim Yevoloshin, and Echnami, that expression of what do you call what they said Natsum and Ishma before Matan Torah, they were Zocha afterwards when the Kolos came to see the Kolos. Says Rav Chaim Yevoloshin, the things that our people ordinarily see, which is the world of sensation, that they heard. Yeah, I could hear that. Right now, you come to somebody and you tell them, what's the real world? The real world is the world of sensation. The world is, you know, is the world where it feels good, it tastes good, experience is good, etc. The world of, you know, of a good joke, the world of, what do you call it, the world of, you know, of laughter, of pleasure, of, you know, whatever we call, we don't have to be debauched, but whatever, but that's the sensual world is the real world. Come tell the guy, Olam Haba is a gute Zach. Learn Torah is a better Zach, right? Good. Olam Haba is really a great thing. Learn Torah is even better than that, right? Keep mitzvos, be over Hashem, be gomel chesed, be you know, loving me and open when somebody, as it were, you know, wipes the floor with you, right? Don't give it back to him in spades. And we say, oh, okay, I could hear that. I don't sense it. I don't feel it, but I could hear it. Yeah. Said, but at Matan Torah, they were zochet to see what people ordinarily hear and hear what people ordinarily see. The sensual world, they said, yeah, I could hear it. Right? That's necessary also. And the world of objective truth, that they saw. But now post the Torah, where are we going to go with it?
They made that declaration.
They made this declaration. They showed that they were mocking. We got something great here. We don't want to lose it. Ah, says Moshe Rabbeinu, Ayom Azen, Yesh La'am. Rav Yosef B'chor Shur. And the truth is, some people do this very well. They really do well. And I'll be honest. I'm blessed. Surely, verily, I'm blessed. Great God. So, anyway, he's probably right. But what do you call it? But the
has to be brought to their senses.
Thank you. Okay, let's all stay calm and we'll pass our value in the morning. There's a very fine line here. From giving expression, you know, they tell the story that a person was not well and he was recovering. He had a Talmud of Rav Huttner, and Rav Huttner, right, asked him how he was, and he said to him, Baruch Hashem. And he said, I wasn't asking how frum you were, I was asking how you feel, right? Now, so there is a fine line between not really meaning what we say, right? Just because we've got this knee-jerk reaction, you know, that's what you're supposed to say. And on the other hand, just keeping everything inside and not giving expression to it at all. A person needs to work on honestly expressing this sense of Hakaras HaTov, honestly expressing the truth that he knows in his mind, so that he can give control of the world of the truths over the world of the sensual. So it's something we deal with, right? So we just say. So we have to work on it. I don't have a cure for it. It's just something we should be conscious of, that we should.
Take a couple of minutes and we'll talk to you
about it. It's okay. Thank you. Rav Yosef B'chor Shur says, one of the Rishonim here, V'lo natan Hashem lachem lev ladas, v'shelo samtem levavchem l'chol hanisim halolu. It's the second citation here on the page. Shlo samtem libchem levavchem l'cho anisim halalu livtoach ba'kodesh baruch hu ad hayom hazeh. Right, it's the same pasuk, perik chavtes pasuk gimel. But I'm saying this is the parish of Rav Yosef B'chor Shur, which is what we call one of the Rishonim here, one of the Balei Tosfos. So he says, v'lo natan Hashem lev ladas, shlo samtem libchem l'cho anisim halalu livtoach ba'kodesh baruch hu ad hayom hazeh. He has a different thing. And according to Rashi, the issue of becoming La'am Hazeh, right, I'm saying the issue of I'm saying the issue of it was a function of you haven't expressed it, so you haven't properly digested it. If you haven't expressed it, Rav Yosef B'chor Shor says, until you show bitachon based upon it, you haven't totally integrated it. In other words, you don't have the lev ladas v'naim leros v'naim leshmo ad hayom hazeh until you put your money where your mouth is. The experience of bitachon. That's really, that becomes, so Rashi said, you gotta express it. I don't think there's any disagreement between them, except that each one's pointing out another fundamental point. Rashi says you have to express it. The Rav Yosef B'chor Shor says you have to show bitachon it, you have to live by it. Then it becomes integrated in your kishkis. Then you really hear, then you really see, then you really feel. When your actions show that you're being boteach in the Rabbon Shalom. Right? He says in the second chat, explain it. Inami ad hayom shesamtem levavchem vekibaltem abris vatem chafetzin likonis eretz lihilochim al bitchono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're now accepting the bris, and you want to enter into Eretz Yisrael. You know you're going to have to fight when you enter into Eretz Yisrael, but you boteach b'Hashem, you place your trust in Hashem. That integrates it. Right? To be willing to fight. Right? To be boteach. That's another nekuda.
Is this goes to anything of tachacha?
No, this is all at the end, after all the tachacha. This is what he called, this is the conclusion, as it were. The Svarno says, Lo natan Hashem lechem lev ladas, Apple Pishu Yisale Hishtadlo Betorosav Umopsav Lases Lachem Lev Ladas, even though Hashem has, you know, really toiled, as it were, to that you should understand His Torah, He's shown you great miracles, but you still don't have that Lev Ladas, etc. Why? Lohusag Zeha Mechuvan, Mirov Merichem, because of your rebelliousness, your complaining, etc.
So what does Sforno say? So
Sforno says, the Sforno is saying, the reason you don't have it is because you're rebelling against Hashem. You don't have this lev ladas, a naim liros, those naim lishmo. You don't have the heart to know, the eyes to see, the ears to hear properly what's going on in the world, the truth of the world, is because you are rebelling against Hashem. You're kvetching against Hashem. You're fighting with Hashem. I don't like this. This is no good. This stinks. Life stinks. Right? So we have three Rishonim. Right? Three Rishonim. We have three keys, as it were, to giving ourselves a qualitatively different outlook on the world. A qualitatively different outlook which gives us a Lev Ladas, an Inayim Lir'os, an Oznayim Lishmo. Heart to know. Yeah, eyes to see and ears to hear. And that's all through each Rishon, Rashi, right? Yosef B'chor Shor, the Sforno, points out a different aspect of it. Rashi says, give expression to it. Yosef B'chor Shor says, demonstrate it through your bitachon, put your money where your mouth is. Yeah? And the Sforno is saying is, don't kvetch. Don't rebel against Hashem. Right? We have no water, we have no this, this is no good, that's no good. That keeps a person from having the heart, the eyes, and the ears to see what, feel, and experience what's really going on in the world.
Which one do you go by?
This is a classical case of Eil Ve'eil Diver Elokim Chaim. They're all true. And we all know it's true. We all know it's true. If you talk a certain way, yeah, if you demonstrate, we all know that these things affect us. And when you kvetch, so that's what you see. When you rebel, this is no good, why are you doing this? What's your problem? They take driver's head, what's the matter? They don't have driver's head in the cosmos, yeah, etc.
You're saying you shouldn't complain at all. Only look for the positive.
Okay, see? So that's what you strive to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you strive to do. If we, it becomes a foregone conclusion that, you know, it's always, there's always something wrong. There's always some chisoron.
Right. I look for the positive.
Right. It says you meet in a veil in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Say, how white is chisoron? If you meet in a veil in the street, I guess you've seen a veil in the street. If you meet in a veil in the street, it might be a little bit, whatever. yeah. Okay, says the Sfat Emes on the same pasuk. Well, not Hashem lachem leiv ladas. The naim rose was naim l'shmo. The chot kasha. I got a kasha here. Kidor midbar dor dea. They were people of dea, of knowledge. Dor dea. They were attached to these ideas inside. Doesn't say lo nasim lachem das. That's exactly the question. The pasuk says lo nasim Hashem lachem leiv ladas. Hashem did not give you a leiv ladas. Beinayim leros vazayim leshvat yom hazeh. Says the quote. Says the Sfat Emes. Understand? Chazal are filled with descriptions of the generation of the desert. This is the last day. They're going into Eretz Yisrael now. This is it. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to pass on, and they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. But the generation of the desert is called Dor Dea. So they do have Das. Second, the Pasuk say, Toshe B'Chsav says, what do you call it? They had, but you don't have a Leiv L'Das, a Zayim L'Shmo, or a Zayim L'Os, right? Yeah? You don't have it, you don't have a Leiv L'Das, and with the whole, your whole generation is called the Dor Dea, of Dor, a Dor of Das, generation of Das.
They learned Torah for 40 years.
Right. How much better could you do? He can't do any better. He says, "Ach, lo'ksiv lachem das." Doesn't say in the pasuk lo nasan Hashem lachem das. It says leiv ladas. Einaim leros. Oznaim leshmo. Raka kalim leiv einaim veoznaim. Your leiv, your heart, your eyes, your ears didn't have the capacity to absorb this das. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Who had
the
answer?
That's the Sfat Emes. No, the Bidi quotes. Not that they didn't have Das. They were Dor Dea, of course they had Das. But there was something wrong in the Kalim, the vessels, that they didn't have until this point. The heart, the eyes, the ears. There's something wrong in the vessels with regard to Das. What does that mean? He says, Yibavadai kishamdo ha-sinai. Hayukimo bliguf. When they were ha-sinai, they were like beyond the world of physical.
What do you mean the vessels? Their mind,
their heart, their eyes, and their ears. That's what the pasuk says. They didn't have a lev ladas. They didn't have a naim ladas. They didn't have oznaim. It's not they didn't have das. He says, "Kmoshu klata nafshi yotze b'dabro." Vehem mamish dor dea bli guf v'tikon aguf nitan lehem lebrei sok kishenichnus ul eretz Yisrael. They were like disembodied intellects. I mean, they weren't disembodied intellects. They were physical bodies, but it's as though they were removed. They were living in such such an incredibly spiritual world as a function of Har Sinai. So that's where they were. So they had Das. But the goof, the body wasn't part of the system. The body, they didn't have to deal with their shoes. They didn't have to deal with their clothing. They didn't have to deal with their bread. Right? There was nothing. There was no physical concerns. So it was all in the head, but the goof was the goof. So the goof was ignored.
They didn't have to deal with the demands of the body.
Right. 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 It became totally tough. It became totally subordinate. V'aklal shakadosh baruch hu nasan levnei Yisrael beis elu advarim. Torah Kedosha Shemalamedes Ha'odam Da'at Eich Latzeis Michum Raguf Agashmias The Eretz Yisrael Beis HaMikdosh Yilakariv Agashmias V'chum Raguf Gamken El HaKedusha Lioschibu HaNesham Av Aguf B'yachad. Which is an unbelievable thing. He says the Rosh Hashanah gave us two things. Right? He gave us the Torah to teach us what's the Iker, what's the most important thing. Right? The Guf is not the most important thing. But Lemaisa, we're in a goof. Right? That's why Hashem made us. That's why He designed us. That's why He gave us Bechira, etc. So I can't ignore the goof. How am I going to uplift the goof? How am I going to bring the goof into tow
behind the leadership of the truths of the Torah. For that, Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael and the Beis HaMikdash. Because there, all of the physical world is translated into Kedusha. The mitzvah police ba'aretz, the avodas ha-mikdash, Eretz Yisrael uplifts the Jewish guf and brings it into sync with the Jewish understanding of things. The Torah, as it were, trains the mind. What trains the guf to follow the mind which stands at the helm of the ship? It's Israel and Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, we just should have been stayed in the desert.
No, that's not the goal.
Live in Malacha.
The goal is not to be like Malachim. The goal is, it's like when Bnei Israel, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah. So the Malachim said to the Rabbon Shem, we're going to give them the Torah. They're going to mess it up. We're going to give it to mortal people. So the Rav Moshe told Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on to my kiseh kavod and answer them. And he tells them, he goes through the whole 9 yards, tell me, have you ever been down to Egypt? Is there any strife and bickering amongst you? Do you ever have desire? Do you have parents to honor, etc.? Torah, what do you need it for? In other words, you can appreciate the Torah, but the Torah can't transform, right, any darkness inside of you into light. You can exult, as it were, in the brilliance of the light of the Torah, but you can't transform darkness into light. And that's from that is where man receives his reward. Because he takes the Torah and he transforms enclaves of darkness in Olam Hazeh, difficult situations filled with all sorts of drives and passions, etc., and he floods it with the light of Torah. So he brings Hashem's Malchus to places where the Malachim can't bring it there because they don't have that. And that's not part of their experience. So at Eretz Yisrael and Beit HaMikdash. V'chein ata b'golus. So too now in Golus. Shehishir lano HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTorah HaKadosha. U'Beit HaMikdash ein lano. Baruch Hashem, we live in Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael is still not the full Eretz Yisrael that it once was. We don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So therefore, it's like we were back in the desert, except we're not back in the desert. Right? We've got all of the hindrances and the preoccupations and the distractions of the guf without the Eretz Yisrael of the Beis HaMikdash to lift up the guf to the truths that the Torah the truths of the Torah that have been absorbed in our understanding. Don't complain. Lachain, he epsher. Lihiskayim the Kedusha. Rakifi bitul aguf, latseis mea gashmias, aidea das, mea Torah, betikon aguf, ubegolus canal. So the Sfas-Emes, he says, what can you do? The Jews suffered. Right? They suffered in Golos. They suffered in Golos. That lowers, as it were, the haughtiness of the guf. They're suffering in Golos. Because the goof, when they suffer, right? I recall it's no longer, hey, let me staple my thumbs underneath my suspenders, right? The goof is getting haughty. The goof is really called the Jews. Right? The Jews went through really tough times in Golos. So that's the first thing he says. No, it helped them. Again, we need both the truths of Torah entering into us.
Yes.
But how do we tame the guf? So in Eretz Yisrael, it's through positive advantage, through the Ashras Hashchina, through the Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, the transformation of the world of the physical towards uplifting it to the world of the spiritual. Yeah, mitzvah apuyas ba'aretz, avodat ha-kobonos, etc. But now we don't have that. I mean, we have it, but not in the same levels we had then. We zoomed around the base of mitzvahs, avodat ha-kobonos. We don't have it. So what do we do? So in this first piece over here, says the difficulties of the Golos help tame the guf. Albeit that's not the best way to do things. It's not like that's an equal exchange, but when you have no other choice, that's the way it is. It's sort of like when the Gemara says in Brachos, a person should always do battle between his Yetzer Tov and his Yetzer Hara. always do battle between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. In other words, we always be out there. Again, how are you going to do battle with the between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara? Again, it can't be just in your head. It's got to be expressed. That's what Rashi says. It's got to be, as it were, you got to show your bitachon. That gives you armaments. That gives you guns and bullets to fight against the Yetzer Hara. You got to express it. You got to show your bitachon. You got to not talk negatively, etc. These all give you tools. But let's say a person it's not working for him. It's not working for him. I don't know, something's not working. Isn't it? These tools, this battle that he's doing. So then the Gemara says, so what you do, you should be osik b'Torah. And so maybe he needs to, as it were, as the way Rav Kook explains it, he needs to be osik in the Torah of the particular Yetzer Hara that he's battling with right now. Let's say he's battling with the Yetzer Hara of anger. Let's say he's battling with the Yetzer Hara of taiva. So he should learn the chelik of the Torah, as it were. So maybe once the idea is over here, maybe it'll give him the capacity, as it were, to bring them to fruition in the battleground. If that doesn't work, what does he do? So then he says he's called a Kriyashma. Kriyashma is the battle cry of the Jewish Republic. Right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Realize there's not, their existence is only because Hashem wills it. He's one. Don't be a jerk. Don't let go of what we call your passions. Don't allow your anger to rule you. Don't allow your desire to rule you. Well, you're essentially, when you do that, you're detached from existence. It's only because God wants to, he has mercy on you, that you maybe you wake up one day, that you don't disappear. Because if he didn't have mercy on us, that's what Rachamim is. Rachamim is not, it's all okay. You're okay, I'm okay, it's California, no sweat. Right? It doesn't make any difference. It's mercy, Rachamim. Rachamim is, you're not gonna disappear. You really should disappear. We really should disappear. The minute we step out of reality, the minute when I don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam is ruling us, the Ribbono Shel Olam is being the source of our existence, realizing that the essence of our being is He wills, therefore we be. So then we really should disappear, but we don't. We don't. So say Shema Yisrael. If that doesn't help, so the Gemara says, think of Yom HaMisa. Stick the pin in the balloon. Then you'll tame the goof. But that's not preferable. Right? Right? That's not preferable. Right? Right? Dame ein basa, lana taholech, lemishat asid lindu. I mean, that's always true, but whatever. But think of Yom HaMisa is, right? Just envision, the guy from the Chevra Kadisha saying, Chanaim Bekash Yom HaTakosh Bo, no, not what we call it, Kavim Yom HaHal Omer, right? He's talking about Shoshim Yidab Ali Dei Chet, right? He's talking about Shoshim Yidab Ali Dei Chet, right? He's talking about Shoshim Yidab Ali Dei Chet, right? Then what he calls, then on the stretcher, out, break there, you really call it the Cheres, or Apak Nishwa, but not Nishim Latlu, okay, what he calls, Yo, Shem Yidab Ali Dei Chet, oh, okay, I got the point. That's not preferable. Because that has a lot of negative side effects. It takes out your simchas chaim also, right? You have no choice. That's what you use, but that is not the way to go. So to also the golus and all of the difficulties of the golus are only really good. It's true. It keeps the animal of the goof in check, but that's not a preferable way to be.
Sometimes you're right.
Okay. nothing better than a little audio visual. That's one thing he says. Yes, they come. In the second chapter, we'll just synopsize it. Not the whole thing, just part of it. The Sfas Emes says, he brings from Simcha Bunim, the Bibinim, the Pshisk, he says that the reason why, right, why is it that you can't possibly have this until this day? So we saw before three Pirushim from the Rishonim. Either because you didn't express it, right, Konrashi, either because you didn't show Bitachon yet, that's what he called Rav Yosef B'choshor, or you've been convecting too much according to Sforno. Rav Simcha Bunim, B'pshia says, it's not possible for you to have all this yet, because you are living in a world of miracles. The only way this can become part of you,
he's commenting on the
pasuk, and this is a fourth way of explaining what he called, a fourth way of explaining of why it is that they didn't have it until today. Right? He says, because now you're going to enter into Eretz Israel, you're going to enter into a world of physical challenges, then it will become part of you. It's a different approach. When you're living in a world, a rarefied world of miracles all the time, so like, it's not like the Sfasim said before, the Kalim can't be Mekudash, your mind is all clear, but the Guf is so, as it were, unnecessary. And so, you know, so encased in a world of miracles that you can't really transform the physicality of the group. But when you enter into a physical system and going into Eretz Yisrael, now it will finally become integrated. Okay. Fine. Fine. And again, the Sfasem said, he said the other side of it, but also when you come into Eretz Yisrael, that's how you make Kaddish. It's the same idea. Let's do one final thing though. Another thing here that's very relevant. The Medrash Tanchuma says, Hayom hazeh Hashem elokecha mitzavcho la'asos. Right? Today Hashem has commanded you, right, to do. That's Perek Chavov Pasuk Tes Zayin. Hayom hazeh Hashem elokecha mitzavcho la'asos es achukim ma'ele es ha-mishpatim v'shamata v'asisa osam v'chol avavcho v'chol nafshecha. Hayom hazeh. Hayom hazeh. There's a Yom HaZeh Niyesh La'am, right? And there's, right? There's Lo Nas Hashem Lekem Lechem Lev Ladas Ad HaYom HaZeh. And then there is HaYom HaZeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavcha La'asos Es HaChukim Ha'ele. That's Perek Chavav Pasuk Tes Zayin. All HaYom HaZeh. All HaYom HaZeh. This day. This day.
This is the end of the
Pasuk. This one is Perek Chavav Pasuk Tes Zayin. This is Shlishi. There's a new Pasuk. We haven't seen this Pasuk before. Chavav Tezayin. Says Tezayin. Zayin. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, Zehu she'omar ha-kosuf. Bo'u nishtachave v'nichro'o nivrecho lifnei Hashem oseinu. What we say in L'chun Arana. Let us go out and bow, right, prostrate ourselves before the Rabbonu Shalom, the one who has made us. Why use three terminologies? Yishtachavaya, kriya, bricha. Matam lovan nishtachave, nechra'a, nivracha. Why use these three terminologies? Elatzafa Moshe beruach hakodesh. Rosh habeis hamikdash asig v'chorev. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that one day the beis hamikdash would be destroyed. That bikurim asidin lipasek. And there no longer would be bikurim. Right? Amad v'hiskin l'Yisrael shiyu mispalim shlosh apamim b'chol yom. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, it's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, instituted that we should daven three times a day. L'fish ha'choviv tefillah lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikol maisim tovim mikol ha'kabanos. Because the tefillah is more precious than all of the maisim tovim, all the kabanos. It says tefillah.
Who's saying that?
This is the Medrash Tanchuma. Says the Sfas Emes, the last Sfas Emes here, right, on page 2. The Medrash, right, Top Reish Lamed Aleph. Medrash Tanchuma, he quotes the Medrash, etc. Says, Adoni Avi Skeni Mori V'Rabi Zal, Chvisha Rim said, Shagam Tfilo Hu Liten HaReishis B'chol Yom Hashem Yisbarach K'mu Bikurim. Right? In other words, just like Bikurim in the land of Israel, in Eretz Yisrael, sets the pattern. It's the first mitzvah. You come in, first fruits, you express your thankfulness to Hashem for what He's done for you, you rejoice in all that He's done for you, you rejoice in the good that He's given to you, with that good that He's given to you. So you appreciate, right? What's Bikurim? Bikurim was all about telling the story of the Jewish people, how we could have been destroyed so many times and Hashem has saved us. It shows, gives expression to our appreciation. And v'samachta b'chol ha'tov. And we rejoice in all the good that Hashem has given us. So he says that tefillah, right? Tefillah has the ability. This tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted. That's in the Medrash Tanchuma. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted. Yeah. Three times a day, as it were, to start, to make fresh starts in every part of the day. Every part of the day has its own challenges. The morning, when you get up. The afternoon, when you're in the midst of your endeavors, your toil, your work, how you're engaged in interpersonal things with people, making parnasa, whatever the struggles are of the day. And at nighttime, when the world begins to close up shop, etc. At each moment, when a person davens, he can accomplish, says Moshe Rabbeinu, what Bikurim used to accomplish, a fresh start. A fresh start. Shekam tefilu liten areshis b'chol yom Hashem Yisbarach kmo Bikurim. Ach ha-shaychus la-yom ha-zeh tzorich biur. But needs explanation, says the Sfas Emes. My grandfather didn't explain. What does that have to do? Ha-yom ha-zeh Hashem l'kech metzav chalasos ha-chukim. Ubamedrash, uberashi. What does Rashi say in there? Ha-yom ha-zeh? B'chol yom b'in ubeinecha chadoshim. Ki'ilu bo v'yom nitztaveis aleihem. And every day, right? It should be to you as though it's new. Again, ha-yom ha-zeh Hashem l'kech metzav chalasos. And this is teaching us to have an attitude of freshness towards mitzvos, chukim, mishpatim. Rashi brings it down.
Fresh day to do mitzvahs.
It should be like it's new.
That's why it was in the
pasuk. Right? Yom, yeah. B'chol yom b'yeinach l'kechadoshim. Ask the Sfas Emes. B'chi arotzen l'hatos l'odom. Ach shebe'emes einu yischad shuschas v'shalom. We're supposed to pretend. It's not new. We got it once before. We got it a long time ago. We got it Har Sinai. Wherever we got it. So I should pretend it's new? Chas v'shalom, he says. Ach v'korach ha'odom l'chadesh kol dovar. A person has the ability, as it were, to renew each thing. Ki vada yesh b'chinas hischadshus b'chol dovar shrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechadesh b'chol yom tomid ma'aseh bereishis. Every day, every moment, Hashem is giving new existence to the world. So that means there always is an aspect of newness to the mitzvahs he's being mitzvahs, because the world is starting afresh every moment. Every moment is a pulse of God's will that we be, and therefore his mitzvos are also new in our receipt of them within that pulse of that we be. But the question is, can we uncover, can we recover, can we expose that newness that's now being seen? Most people don't expose, they just live, yeah, time keeps this petty pace from day to day. Out, brief candle, etc. That's what we live. Over and over and over and over. It's just repetitious. We don't experience it something new. But gam ki alo ein davar bilti chiyus Hashem Yisbarach v'nakudu mimenu yutei, right? Yisbarach la'olam lo yisyashem ki dvarav chayim v'novim tovim. Nothing from Hashem is ever old. He is a mayan hanoveya. He is a constantly bubbling spring of life. It's new. Right? Darkness covers things. And we don't see this in the Kuda. And that's why it says, Ein chodash tachas ha-shemesh. When you live in the world under the sun, so the sun and the system of Teva clouds the newness of things. It all looks like it's just the same thing. Ach v'koach ha-odam, but man does have in his capacity, l'ha'ir ha-nekuda me'achashecha. Man doesn't have his capacity to bring light to this darkened point of Hashem's newness, new expression of existence, and new transmission of mitzvos that's at every moment. Man has the capacity to bring light to that. And that's what it says. Hashem elokecha metzav chalasos perish nimtso b'chinas hayom hazeh. Our job description is to find, to reveal the Yom HaZeh in everything. To give expression to the newness in everything. She is galus or b'espaklar yedara. Gam toch ha-maisa mamish, ya-master nakuda al, v'yal yidei mitzvos, t'chziv ner mitzvah. And Torah or, shekem she mitzvah hu b'maisa gashmi yesh b'chiyus Hashem Yisbarach. Batzivu l'asosu b'cho odum izdabek al yada b'or agonuz. By doing the mitzvahs, and it's really called the mitzvah has the capacity, because it says, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. Hashem has given us the vessel, the cruse, the cup, I said, and the light within it, to be able to reveal the newness in everything. So now, what does this have to do with what he called with tefillah, because tefillah is the watershed event in a person's life where he reconnects the truths of his mind to the world of affect, the world of feeling in his heart. Right? The Gemara says, the Brisa says in Tainis that tefillah is avodah shebelev. Avodah shebelev. It's the workings, the avodah, the service that's in the heart. In other words, what's taking place is things are growing inside of the heart, just like there's avodah hasodeh, and that's where things grow. This is the terminology that the Akedis Yitzchak uses. In the world of tefillah, the branches of the truths of Torah that you've absorbed in your mind begin to branches spread out into your heart. They spread out into your heart, and that's the avoda shebelev of tefillah. The Mishnah in Bracha says, "Einom mispalo mitoch kovid rosh." You can't start to daven until, as it were, you're committed that the truths of your mind are going to stand at the helm. Kovid rosh, not flighty, not usually pushed away. It's going to weigh down. These truths over here are going to weigh down and direct the world of my feeling, the world of my heart. But the effect of the tefillah is in the heart. The preparation, the prologue to tefillah is Einom Nisbalo Mitoch Kovid Rosh. So now what do we have? This is what the Medrash is telling us. The Medrash is telling us Moshe Rabbeinu saw that one day we're not going to have Bikurim. Again, the Sfasem has taught us before. Sfasem has taught us before that we need Eretz Yisrael. We need the Beis Hamikdash, as it were, to bring the goof into tow. When we were in the Midbar with only just miracles surrounding us and we were absorbing the deep ideas of the Torah, so it's true, the goof became totally subordinate, but it couldn't be transformed. It was subordinate. Totally subordinate. But it wasn't transformed. It needed entry into Eretz Yisrael with the challenges of Eretz Yisrael, but with the opportunities of mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael to uplift it. But we don't have a base to make this today. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He says you can accomplish this also through tefillah. When there's no Beis Hamikdash, you can accomplish it also through tefillah. Because what happens in tefillah? Ein omdim lispalel mitoch kovid rosh. You can only start to daven once you're committed that the truths of the Torah in your mind are going to weigh down and to be at the helm, directing the ship of your being. When a person does that and that engages in tefillah, tefillah is avodah shebelev. B'chol avadchem. Right? You serve Hashem with all your hearts, etc. Where does that avoda take place? Where do the boughs and the branches, yeah, where do the fruit, as it were, take place? They find expression in the heart. It's avoda shebelev. After a person has done that now, since the goal of tefillah is not just to receive what I'm looking for in my tefillah. It does that. But the goal of tefillah is to transform me post the tefillah. Now I enter into the world recharged through the tefillah. Once I enter into the world recharged through the tefillah, so then I have the capacity. I've got my Torah, I've got my tefillah, and now I have the capacity of Hayom Azeh Hashem Elokecha Metzavcha Lasos Achukim Ha'Eilev Es Mishpatim. I can do the mitzvos, like Rashi says, B'chol Yom Yu Be'enecha Chadoshim Ki Ilo Bo Nitztaveis. I'll have the ability to reveal the newness in the mitzvos that I do. When I have the ability to reveal the newness in the mitzvahs that I do, to feel that, experience it, when I do the mitzvahs, it transforms my guf. And so once again, we've accomplished, yeah, what the goal was. The goal was that the truths of the mind should be filled with Torah. The great catacombs of the mind should be filled with Torah. The guf, in turn, should be uplifted through its doing mitzvahs. And the way to be uplifted through doing mitzvos is to do mitzvos, as it were, with eagerness, with excitement, with simcha, like it says, yeah, what do you call it, God forbid, when we don't serve Hashem b'simcha, it's a catastrophe, tachas asher lovadet Hashem elokecha, b'simcha tuv leva v'rov kol, like it says in the Tochacha here, we have to do it b'simcha, we do it b'simcha. How we have the capacity to do it b'simcha? We don't have, as it were, the Beis Hamikdash with us to uplift the guf, to make things alive and fresh, feel the shtina in our everyday actions. says what he called the Medrash Tanchuma, as the Sfas explains, the world of Tefillah will give us that advantage. Three times a day, as it were, to instill in our hearts, which gives the advantage to transform us through the Tefillah, so that post the Tefillah, the goof has the capacity to contribute, to join in partnership with the truths of the Torah out in the mind, to be able to reveal the newness, experience the newness, and so the cycle goes around and around and around and around. So, Be'ezer Hashem. Be'ezer Hashem. We should... it's not even so easy to say, but it's certainly a lot easier to say than it is to do. But if we pull it together, and Be'ezer Hashem, right, Parshas Kisavo, Tich Lashana V'Kiloseh, right, we, Klal Yisrael, right, all of us, Klal Yisrael, should see, right, no difficulties in the upcoming year, Be'ezer Hashem, the Tachil Shana Birchoseh, and the new year should start with all of its blessings, God willing. Amen.